In this special episode of Because It Matters, we're live from Croke Park Stadium in Dublin. Our focus today, football, concerts, and a lot of fun. In other words, how to design a safe, seamless, and sustainable fan experience. How do you get thousands of fans into a stadium quickly and securely? How does technology keep the balance between safety and a smooth guest experience? And what happens when events like a Taylor Swift concert push a stadium to its limits? Our guest, Brian McNeil from Dormakaba, a global leader in access and security solutions. Join our host, Wilma Werner, as we dive into the world of safe, secure, and seamless access.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Because It Matters, the podcast where we open the doors to innovation, merge aesthetic with function, and security with elegance. And right by my side, we have another expert and sports enthusiast, Brian McNeil. Welcome to this special episode, which is live in Dublin. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Brian, hi, welcome.
Nice being here.
So great to have you here. Can you please briefly introduce yourself?
So yeah, Brian McNeil, vertical business owner for our sports and entertainment division here at Dormakaba Group. I joined Dormakaba, Alvarado Dormakaba Group, joined back in 2011. Alvarado became part of Dormakaba back in 2019. So it's been almost about 6 years now, being, you know, officially part of Dormakaba Group. Been in the industry now for upwards of 20 years. Specifically in kind of this capacity, you know, dealing with sports venues for about 15 years now. So
you must have seen a lot of venues. Can you still count them?
It's getting to the point where venues now are kind of a blur, you know, in terms of like which stadium I'm walking through nowadays. So it's even the same thing, you know, spending some time here at this venue yesterday, walking through, and you know, it's like everything kind of looks the same, to some extent, because of all the different venues that I've been with, you know, over the years.
So you went here yesterday already. How much time did you spend here?
I was here for probably about 3 hours, kind of walking through, kind of checking out, you know, kind of how their operations are here and, you know, just like, you know, getting an idea as far as like what the flow is, you know, in terms of like on a normal event day and whatnot.
So. Okay, so you can anticipate what it will look like.
Yeah, I mean, especially with some of the other events that are coming down the way, you know, again, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to see the comparison, you know, some of the other venues that, you know, that we operate in. So,
and talking about the ones that are coming his way, if you look into my background, if you are on the video version of the podcast, which of course we highly recommend, you can see in the background there's one huge strip of lawn that looks a little bit dry. That's because it is dry, but that's for good reasons, because recently there's been two major concerts that took place in this. Did you attend?
No, unfortunately, I was not a part of those events. But yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear as far as, you know, maybe the backlash of the outcome of some of those events. You know, I mean, that's always the thing that I think stadiums are always having to deal with. You know, it's one thing when you're talking about sport, but you know, you get some of the concerts and stuff that come through, and they change around the operations entirely. So, you know, they're you know, think quickly on their feet on how do they be able to handle those different types of crowds and those types of things and things that are going on. So,
and to give you an image about how big and enthusiastic these crowds probably have been, it was Robbie Williams and Oasis who played concerts at this venue, because right now we are in Dublin at Croke Park, and the lawn is, like, can we say re-upcycled, finished?
Yeah, they're doing some repairs as we speak. Obviously, they got to get prepared for the American football game coming in, and, you know, just like anything, they want the pitch to be perfect and, you know, look exactly like, you know, you would expect for a, you know, normal American football game.
So, are you going to attend that one?
I don't think I will be here for that event. Obviously, we're in the middle of the football season over in North America. So, you know, we've got, you know, quite a few venues there that we manage. And, you know, as far as from a, you know, operations perspective on the access control. So, yeah, we're pretty busy during this time of year.
I mean, you've been traveling a lot. You've seen a lot of venues. For those of you who are wondering what kind of sports do they play here, I asked an expert. who's in the background. And he said it's Gaelic football. And for those of you who have never heard of Gaelic football, it's like a blend of rugby and European football and basketball. Was that a proper explanation of it? Like, that was absolutely appropriate, of course, already an expert. So it's Gaelic football, which is what they play around here at Croke Park. So yesterday was your first time that you came
at this particular venue, You know, in Ireland, we've actually deployed at a number of stadiums, you know, here. So, you know, exposed to the different types of sports and everything that, you know, different types of fan bases you see, you know, you get, obviously the fan bases follow one particular sport, you know, versus another. So, yeah, you definitely see a little bit of, you know, dynamics there, you know, as far as from a game day operations perspective. So
what is, from your perspective, what is special about stadiums compared to other public venues?
The drinking, I think, is definitely kind of comes into play.
This is an adult podcast.
Yeah, so it's, but I mean, you see that, you know, throughout, you know, really wherever you're at. So I think that's the biggest difference you see on international venues, maybe versus maybe stuff that you see like in North America. Obviously, it's more about the experience, I think, in some of the U.S. venues where there's lots of premium areas, there's concessionaires everywhere, there's all different types of places you can get specialty cocktails and breweries and those types of things. You know, here it's more about the event, right? So it's a little bit more minimalistic, you know, but, and so what you do is, you know, a lot of the fans will slam in at the very end because they've been sitting at the pubs, you know, for the last 3 hours and then they wait till the very end to, you know, to be able to hit the gates and then come in and watch, you know, watch the event. So
what do you say? If we had shown you a video of the interior of the stadium, would you have been able to tell whether that was a US American stadium or somewhere else in the world?
I think it's probably becoming a little bit more difficult to tell. It's more the stuff that's on the perimeter side, you know, as far as kind of what's being deployed. I mean, you'll definitely see maybe an increase in like the suites, for example, you know, on, you know, like, again, we talk about like the premium spaces on stuff that you see in a lot of the North American venues, you know, where there's a lot of kind of these top tier, high profile, you know, they'll have 200 suites at some of these venues.
I'm up for
you know,
that.
So it's again, having these areas where people can congregate, you know, and watch together kind of in these like premium club type spaces and stuff like that. You know, even in Indianapolis where, you know, we have our, you know, the Dormakaba, you know, the main U.S. offices there at Lucas Oil Stadium, they have suites that are right on the field. So you're literally sitting there right next to the action, slapping players' hands as they're making touchdowns. And it's a pretty cool experience overall. Okay. And so they're taking advantage of every element around these venues, you know, to be able to captivate. And I mean, it's all about the experience, right? So, you know, you kind of go back even during COVID where sport was taken away, right? You know, people couldn't come into these venues. And so now it's become one of these things where they want to go for the, you know, this total grandiose experience, take all the photos, kind of get, you know, it's a total different element to you know, to why fans are coming, you know, maybe, you know, necessarily to, you know, to the games. So.
Does that impact how you plan a stadium for, if, I mean, you have to balance a lot of things. It's the fans' experience, which you want to provide. You have security aspects that you have to consider. How does that influence your planning?
I mean, the thing is you almost want to make it, you know, invisible to the fan, right? So it's all about, you know, as far as ingress going into these facilities, they want it to be transparent. They don't want to be seen where they're doing all these crazy bag checks and all these security measures, even though you need to have this facility highly secure and keep, you know, hooligans out, you know, and whatnot. You know, you need to still make it accommodating for guests, you know, to come in. So that's a lot of times where the stuff that we come into play is we want to create that nice experience right from the start, you know, like to where they're getting in, they're going right through the gates, they're able to go to these premium areas and again spend money, you know, right? So I mean that's at the end of the day, it's a business, you know. So these stadiums, they might have a tenant, you know, like a team or whatever that's bringing in the fans, but they also have all these other different elements to, you know, to make them family friendly, bring your kids, stay at a resort, you know, next door. I mean, these are all elements that tie in really nicely with Dormakaba in general, in terms of the you know, the offering that, you know, that we kind of bring to the table. So,
And what do you think? I mean, you've seen the development of recent years and decades, obviously. Yeah. And can you share your ideas on or your thoughts on the trends that are happening when it comes to managing crowd flow and security today in a multi-purpose venue like that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the unfortunate circumstances is there's been issues, right? You know, I mean, pretty highlighted to where security has become paramount, right? So they've gone away with bringing in giant bags and coolers and those types of things. Right. You know, they've gone to the point where, again, you're still doing detection, you know, in terms of like from a threat detection when you're coming in these venues, but you're making sure they're not bringing in different types of devices that, you know, that could be a threat to, you know, the other fans that are in these stadiums. So, you know, it's really been about kind of putting in technologies that are still somewhat that are very transparent as far as to do these security, you know, threat detection. But then also it's stuff like sustainability, right? So everything's gone to more of a contactless, paper-free type of environment. The biggest thing that is probably, you know, transition is just the adoption. Everybody walks around with their phone, right? That's their piece of...
Yeah, you will never forget your phone at home.
You will not leave without your phone. So they're putting everything onto the mobile device. And so that's leveraging, you know, digital tickets to where they're not having to fumble around, get paper tickets. They're using more of the tap type of experiences. So the Apple, the Google Wallet, you know, type experience, kind of like the Apple Pay, you know, type of, you know, operation that you see all around. So that's really the types of things that we've seen the massive adoption in, you know, here in the recent years. So,
and can you share an example where Domakaba Solutions played a critical role when it comes to, on one hand, keeping the crowds of fans moving smoothly and keeping them safe at the same time?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and that would be like a perfect example of like when we do a lot of ticket validation, you know, type control devices. So, you know, it's intelligent terminals where they're, again, you know, working with the different ticketing systems that are in play at these different venues, you know, to where it is allowing the fans to self-scan, self-service themselves as far as getting into the buildings, you know, quickly and easily. So,
and what events have you attended that are comparable to that?
Yeah, there's quite a few that, okay. You know, that's a pretty open-ended question. So, I mean, we've been very fortunate. I remember actually sitting, this is probably maybe 2017, 2018, thinking, wow, it'd be pretty cool to be part of a Super Bowl, right? So,
And then the
universe came together. Yeah. Actually, it was during probably the worst of times with COVID, you know? So COVID, we're sitting there and, you know, obviously some of the U.S. venues were starting to open up, you know, considerably earlier. And it was probably a little more, you know, applicable to the different states even, you know, so certain states in the U.S. were more flexible, you know, in terms of like letting fans in the building. And one of the teams that we had rolled out with in 2020, actually I think about, you know, 2019, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Mm-hmm. So we were part of, you know, starting to roll out some of that technology. And then when 2020 hit, that expedited everything to roll out more technology, to go to more of a contactless environment, go to digital media, because again, they, you know, they didn't want to have exchanging paper media back and forth, people scanning tickets. Again, it was all about, you know, transmission, you know, at that point. So we'd rolled out our products in 2020, right in the middle of COVID. They opened up that, you know, that building. It was reduced capacities, but then that was also the very same year that they were hosting Super Bowl 55. Mm-hmm. So leading up to Super Bowl 55, there was always questions whether Super Bowl 55 was going to happen. And so we were very fortunate to, you know, that was the first Super Bowl that had ever gone fully mobile, fully digital, you know, because again, they wanted to keep everything contactless. And we had such an amazing rollout that literally from that point forward, it's been kind of a rinse and repeat each year. So now we've gone 5 years in a row, you know, doing the Super Bowl, which has been, for me, you know, it's probably been one of those, you know, kind of pinch. I always still kind of pinch myself, you know, when I'm sitting in the middle of Super Bowl, you know, and, you know, getting to experience these types of major events.
So. And again, I'd like to recommend the video version of the podcast, because now you can see Brian's eyes gleaming as he's reliving the experience. Yeah. So that sounds like COVID puts you under a degree of pressure that was unforeseeable for anyone, but led to fantastic solutions from your side.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's led to some pretty amazing partnerships that we've established in the industry. Yeah. So, you know, working with like the Ticketmasters of the world, and obviously we've got a phenomenal relationship with the NFL, and so it's for me it's really cool just the my colleagues and now friends kind of in those different capacities. You know, seeing this massive influx and the growth of NFL kind of internationally has been pretty cool to watch. So,
and as you can see by the poor lawn in the background, concerts do have a huge impact, not only on the lawn, but the stadium itself, of course. Can you share a bit about an example of a big event where it was crucial for you to provide access and security for thousands of fans to have a great fan experience?
Yeah, I think in recent memory, and I think it kind of goes without saying, the Eras Tour by Taylor Swift was certainly one. I think that it's probably right up there with Super Bowls. It seemed like every night that she was performing, it was essentially like a mini Super Bowl, from an operations perspective. Yeah. And just the amount of fan base that she brings in, it was pretty incredible to watch.
Were you part of the fan base?
Maybe not to start with, but by the end, I was certainly a Swiftie.
She turned you into a Swiftie.
Yeah, yeah, I got to the point where, I could pretty well remember the set list.
And, oh, you did?
Yeah, I was that guy driving home in the car and singing Taylor Swift songs. So,
that altered your Spotify algorithm, probably.
It certainly did. And I think it drove my kids a little crazy as well of, Dad, why are you listening to so much Taylor Swift? So.
You are the biggest Swiftie in the family.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's one thing from a performer perspective, but then just to see night in, night out, how much effort and you can see a lot of performers and, you can kind of see them go through the motions. Taylor Swift is not that person. Mm-hmm. She is one that goes all out every single night, 3 or 4 hours a night. I mean, it was pretty impressive just to see that in person. And I think that gained so much respect from me personally, again, not necessarily knowing her song catalog really beforehand. And, other than maybe the hits you hear on the radio, but just kind of seeing the amount of energy and everything that she put in each and every night was pretty incredible.
So, and at the same time, you being turned into a Swiftie still have to make sure that the technical side of the fan experience still has to be covered. So on one hand, it has to be smooth. It has to be preferably invisible and seamless. Can you take us through different touch points? Me as a future Swiftie, if I approach the stadium up until I leave, or at least when I arrive at my seats, what do the touch points look like that are provided by Domokaba?
So we start at the very perimeter. The stuff that certainly is probably my strongest background is really has to do with the ticketing side of things. So, the ticketing access control, the types of scanning technologies that are getting these fans into the building, right from the get-go. You want to kind of make that as seamless and as pain-free as possible, to get through. And you got these, lines of Swifties and whatnot and, all these different types of fans, that are kind of coming in and, they want to get them in as quickly as possible. So that's really kind of point one. Once you're into the building, when you're immediately on the perimeter, again, Domokaba being such a huge paramount, as it relates to kind of the door hardware side of things, right from the get-go, you're talking about operators and closers and those types of things that, you're seeing on the doorways that they're getting into these facilities. When you're getting into the building, you're starting to see more of a usage of, the sliders and the revolvers and some of these kind of areas that they are kind of separating out some of these spaces, as far as for, getting guests, as far as from point A to point B, again, within these facilities. We do a lot of stuff when you get into secondary applications. Suite access is another huge one for us. Again, door hardware, all your EAD, electronic access devices that are throughout the facility, and controlling, the security credentials of staff kind of making their way into some of these secured spaces, that are off limits to, the common fan. I'm walking up to my suite. I might be scanning on a Domokaba device, as far as for to unlock that door strike, also supplied by Domokaba. Mm-hmm. It's all these types of things that you know, maybe to the common person don't realize all these different types of products that are in play. But that's all part of the entire suite, you know, that comes from Dormakaba and Alvarado.
Yeah. So. Have you ever, when you attended one of her concerts, well, this is becoming a Taylor Swift commercial.
Yeah.
Did you ever start with, for example, the fans rushing into the stadium to experience live what it is like to go into a stadium with all these crowds together? Did you do that? And what was the experience like?
Yeah, I think, again, you're talking about different behaviors. You know, I mean, coming into a Taylor Swift concert is, you know, again, I think a lot of people are coming in early because they, you know, again, you're talking about, you know, younger fan base. They want to come in and get the merch because the merch was like such a crazy thing at that point. So, you know, her merchandise would sell out before the event even starts. So people come in early to get that type of stuff. So it probably wasn't like, you know, like we do a lot of college venues as well. So college venues, or just, you know, just in general sports venues, you know, where there's a lot of tailgating. There's a lot of stuff going on the outside that people wait until the very last minute to be able to hit the gates and go in and watch the event. So it's a completely different fan behavior. You still got to be able to accommodate that and really be able to, you know, respond accordingly depending on, you know, maybe what that fan behavior is. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, for us, that's where the focus is on the technology and keeping it, you know, as straightforward as possible so that, you know, when the guest finally does make their way, you know, to enter in the building, you know, you want to be able to address that properly. Yeah.
That's so huge if you try to imagine how different the behaviors of different fans, like the classic, I'd say German football fan, who spends a little bit of time prior to the match beginning at the beer stand, but very chill usually, compared to a very enthusiastic Swifty.
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of funny because I remember leaving the one of the Taylor Swift concerts, actually was in Houston. And as I'm leaving the building, you see this row of dads, you know, waiting for their daughters to come out. I think that was one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen in my life. And again, you know, just talking about the difference in fan base, you know, entirely. And, you know, seeing fans coming in and sequins and, you know, crazy outfits.
Yeah,
and stuff
all hyped
like that.
Up probably coming from the concert. I mean, did anyone ask you, hey, are you here to pick up your daughter as well? And I attended for myself.
For us, it was, again, it was a pretty comedic time for, you know, myself and our staff, you know, as far as kind of seeing, again, the differences, you know, in you know, the fan base, you know, that are going, you know, going to these different types of events.
But there should be a new Instagram hashtag, like dads of Taylor Swift, Swifties, dads of Swifties.
You'd see some of the dads wearing some sort of crazy shirt, you know, that, you know, because a lot of times it was, you know, it was like maybe the daughter's birthday or some special event, why they got, you know, they gotten tickets. So they, you know, the dads would get into it as well. Even the ones that were coming in with like their younger daughters, they would be all decked up, you know, in the nines and stuff like that, and wearing some crazy outfits, you know, the I'm supporting my daughter type thing, you know.
So that's so cute.
That was pretty cool to watch.
For me to get a better image of how different it is to deal with different fan groups and different population groups even. Yeah. Does data play a role when it comes to the future of stadium access, data, smart solutions, other technologies?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously they're constantly looking at, you know, and it's ingress reports, flow rates, those types of things, you know, because again, all that translates to one, customer satisfaction. You know, so they'll all kind of send out kind of questionnaires to their fan bases and people that have come to the buildings, and here's what are the things that you want to improve on. And thankfully for us, you know, like we've always kind of come away where, you know, the ingress is a nominal concern because everything is actually expedited. So, but, you know, I think the main thing for them is the quicker they can get people into the building, one, the quicker they're going to be sitting in their seats, getting ready to enjoy whatever event is taking place. But then two, because again, you've got concessionaires, you've got all these different types of business operations that are going on throughout the stadium. The quicker they get in, they're going to the merch shops, they're going to the concessionaires, they're getting, you know, that's a direct revenue spend, you know, for them, you know, to be able to get people in, you know, get people in the buildings, you know, definitely something where they're constantly looking, you know, they've got a per capita like revenue spend, you know, that for every fan, you know, that makes it into the building, this is what they're, you know, they've kind of got that data capture, you know, as far as what that translates to revenue.
So you can use that properly to enhance the experience even further, which sounds like it makes the experience from your side quite plannable. Have you ever experienced a situation where there was a security relevant surprise that you had to manage?
Yeah, actually. So the most
here comes
recent,
the next yeah, story
the,
time.
The most recent Super Bowl. Oh. Comes immediately to mind. So so New Orleans. It was one of those where, again, unfortunate circumstances. You know, roughly about a month out was when they had the tragedy that was, you know, that was in downtown New Orleans. You know, with the you know, the terrorists, you know, as far as coming through and you know, as far as the going through on Berman Street, which is a very popular tourist area. Really, the thing, you know, at that point, I think there was a little bit of fear, you know, kind of going into the event, like, hey, you know, like, is this gonna play out differently? Mm-hmm. Is there gonna be more security measures? And effectively, that's exactly what it did. It as high profile as Super Bowl already is. All it did was now you've put it on another layer of security
to
where now
not?
You almost felt to the point where it's like, now I feel even safer, you know, that, you know, this tragedy happened, but now they put even more protocols in place. But then to layer on top of that again was the first time a standing president, you know, Trump announced he was coming to the game.
And how much time did he have between his announcement and the Super Bowl?
That was literally maybe a week or so out.
Okay.
And so
that was not much.
Yeah, that was... I think it caught everybody by surprise. And, you know, to the point where now, again, now that there was already enhanced security measures put in place, now you've got even another layer of security.
How did you handle that?
I mean, for us, it was, you know, like, obviously we were all kind of, you know, kind of juggling things, you know, as much as we possibly could heading into that event. But then, you know, to really just kind of see working in conjunction with, you know, security staff and kind of the additional protocols that were put into place with, you know, additional checks, and they were bringing in, you know, different, you know, additional detection equipment, and, you know, they had a Secret Service everywhere throughout this building. You know, it was definitely a little bit more tedious to get from point A to point B, you know, in certain aspects, you know, for that particular event, you know, something that we, you know, never had to really had to deal with, you know, in previous ones. Yeah. So,
and I will layer another challenge on top of that.
Yeah.
So we talked about security and technology and the smooth and seamless experience of the fans. How do you meet sustainability goals with all of this? How does that alter your planning process, or how does that come into play for you?
Yeah, like, I mean, it kind of gets back to the point I was making earlier about going digital. So everything now is essentially fully digital, or, you know, like, or it's not even for the venues that are still maybe dealing with paper. It's not necessarily a question of if, but when they will switch over to being all digital. So, I mean, everything is being driven again by the phone, you know, to where it eliminates kind of this element of paper ticketing and stuff that's, you know, a bit more of a consumable, you know. You know, and that's really been probably the biggest adoption, at least for us, has really been around the use of digital technologies. And as we start to look forward, you know, a lot of the, with AI kind of coming in, you know, in the picture more and more, you know, with like facial authentication, those are the types of things that again, kind of taking it even one step further, you know, as far as, you know, even taking the phone to where, you don't even have, that's not even your credential. You know, your credential is essentially your face, you know, as far as your ticket, you know, as far as getting
into the
building.
Luckily, I have mine with me all the time.
Yeah. But I think for us, it's also, you know, the whole element of the phone is that's really become kind of that single device that you're making your way throughout wherever you are in a city, right? So, you know, using your phone as your payment, you know, I mean, That is, you know, everybody's so used to that in all other elements of their life. They expect that same experience when they come into these sports, you know, facilities. So,
yeah. If I think of myself, I'd probably forget my keys more probably than I would forget my phone at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did that ever happen to you that you forgot your phone at home?
I don't think that's ever happened to me. Yeah, absolutely not. Well, and I think that's also, you know, I mean, even with like ticketing technologies in particular. So, that's why they've gone down the path of using NFC, stuff that's not even a barcode any longer, to where it is a truly secured ticket, to where, you know, in the past, you know, if people would copy a ticket, they'd copy a barcode, and then whoever had that barcode, the first one in, that was the one that actually got in, because it was copied numerous times. Getting it onto the phone, coming up with means to where it's a dynamic ticket, you know, or like an NFC ticket where it can't be copied, it can't, you know, I mean, it follows a more of a, you know, a proper transfer protocol, to where I know I have a good ticket getting into these buildings. That's the stuff that we support, you know, from a technology perspective, you know, as far as from a hardware and access protect, you know, access control.
And I think what we also need to consider is, I mean, stadiums are basically their companies. So they are aiming for economical benefits. Yep. And a lot of stadiums are aiming for LEEDs or other certifications. So how does dormakaba help with that when it comes to access and entry solutions?
Yeah, so I mean, when you look at the sports and entertainment vertical in general, it's a perfect fit for dormakaba. You know, I mean, we have so many different product divisions. I've most of my background has been in kind of the access, you know, the ticketing access side of things. But then you go into these buildings and you're talking about some of the entrance solutions with like the sliders and revolvers and stuff that's conserving energy. I mean, you figure how much energy some of these places are producing. Again, these premium spaces, they're pumping AC. They don't want to lose that, you know, that energy as far as, to the atmosphere and whatnot. Between that and then, again, kind of going down to like, you know, the low energy type operators and those types of things, it's all really been conducive to, you know, establishing these LEED certifications and, you know, the LEED credits, you know, as far as in the building design. So, I mean, we've got a pretty extensive architectural team that works really closely with designers and specifiers on how do we fit in the right product types to help them establish those LEED credits as they're building and designing these facilities. So.
And what do you see when we tie it all together, sustainability, security, access, what do you say is the next big step for stadiums to take?
You know, again, I think the biggest thing that's really going to be continuing to evolve, and I think the biggest question marks is probably around, the artificial intelligence, you know, in particular. I think that's the biggest question mark for anybody, you know, globally right now is, one, how do I use that as, you know, whether it's complementary, whether it's replacement, you know, of staffing and those types of things. I mean, I think that's always going to be the biggest question mark, at the moment. How do I leverage that, to enhance my business operations and as far as, you know, costing and whatnot. I think the biggest thing that you're going to start to see probably more internationally is this growth of kind of the experience side of things, so a lot of these design elements now are focused around kind of the premium, the premium experience, because again, it's, you know, they want to create the same type of experience that, you know, you see in some of these, the new venues that, you know, people are all, very excited about. They want to start to transfer that over into some of the new stadium designs.
Would that be a recommendation of yours? Let's say I do switch careers and I start planning stadiums and I'm asking a total expert, what is your top recommendation to venue operators or designers when they start planning a new stadium from scratch?
I think visiting other ones. Honestly, I think that's really the biggest. You're going to learn so much more by just visiting these different types of, you know, how do you do things differently? What are people attracted to? Mm-hmm. You know, like even as simple as how comfortable is the seat? You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You'd be surprised at the number of buildings I've gone. I'm like, I can't fit into certain seats because like either they just had not.
In.
I can't physically fit into certain seats, you know, because it's the same thing as like the airlines, right? So, you know, you're trying to maximize, you know, how many people you can fit in these areas, but then that also you also detract, you know, from the, you know, from the game watching, you know, the, you know, the experience of the guest. So how comfortable are the seats? You know, I mean, how do, am I able to sit in the seat and order food that comes directly to my seat? You know, it's all, again, it's all about accommodating. And because again, you're like, when you're in a stadium environment, you're competing against the TV watching environment as well. So how do we differentiate that? How do we draw people in? They always use the word get butts in seats. That's their goal is we want to get butts in seats. So how do I create that experience to, you know, to draw them in and continue to draw them in for future events, you know? So.
And do you have another positive lighthouse experience that you can share about visiting other stadiums who were like, well, that's awesome. We need to do that as well.
Actually, I'll even go a little bit further back for me. So this was really my first experience when I talk about like the, you know, the sports entertainment in particular. So, you know, I had joined Alvarado and I'd only been on for about a year. So I was, because a lot of my background was in integrated solutions, right? So I did a lot of work in like the mass transit. I did a lot of work in airports, you know, government security and those types of things.
Different vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely dealing with some different clientele and different, you know, stakeholders. But I remember it was like 2012, and I had, you know, at this time I didn't have a whole lot of experience in kind of the sports side of our business. And I remember thinking, cool, you know, like I love basketball, you know, so NBA basketball was one of my big sports. And I remember reaching out just because I'm based in Orlando, and the Miami Heat were probably, you know, you had LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, and, you know, I mean, this was a lot of top tier talent and everything that was playing there. And I just remember saying like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. Like, let me see what I can do with this. And I remember reaching out, talking to the Heat, you know, for a while at the time. And my very first experience walking into the stadium, we had done, we did a proof of concept with them at the NBA Finals. And I remember sitting there thinking, who does a proof of concept at the NBA Finals? And I remember walking down in the corridor under the stadium, seeing Dwayne Wade walk past me, LeBron and those guys practicing. And I mean, it was just like, I knew at that point, I'm like, this is all I want to do for the rest of my life. Like I have nothing else I want to do. I'm totally in, you know, from this point forward. So that was my first, you know, I knew from that point forward exactly what I wanted to do with the company. So, but it was just one of those things where, you know, you have this wow moment, and like, I don't think you could take a smile off my face that, you know, that whole time. And it was, you know, that to me still stands out as probably one of my most profound moments, you know, kind of, you know, in the role that I'm in now. So.
Imagine starting out at your new role at a company and they already give you the top tier experience, NBA Finals, to an NBA fan.
Absolutely.
Did you meet LeBron?
Please
say yes. Come on.
I remember, I mean, it's actually kind of funny because so Shaquille O'Neal I've met a number of times.
Okay.
I remember actually being at NBA headquarters. This was probably not too long actually after we had rolled out with the Heat. And I remember being up at NBA headquarters in Manhattan, and I was sitting in the lobby getting ready to go meet with NBA officials. And Shaquille O'Neal gets off an elevator, and he's standing there with his ball cap and stuff like that. And like, I was just like a crazy fan at that point. I got giddy like a little schoolgirl, and I like walked up. I'm like, Shaquille, what's going on?
Let's hug.
And like, one of the things I remember is these were like one of the first generation iPhones, and he's sitting there texting something, and I'm thinking, like, how does he text on this phone? Like the guy's hands are gargantuan. But yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he is like one of the most approachable NBA players.
Oh, that sounds great.
So I've seen him there, and I've seen him a couple of other times at Super Bowls and stuff like that. Done the elbow bumps and everything with Shaquille O'Neal. It's pretty cool to kind of, you know.
When you say elbow bumps, was it like that? I mean, he's tall.
Yeah.
So how tall is he compared to you?
He's good, almost foot taller. So
he's just
one of those characters that, you know, you feel like you could, you know, he could associate with anybody, you know. I mean, he's that guy that, you know, I mean, he still has a pretty good, you know, size house in Orlando, and he'll show up at you know, the Walmarts of the world and buy, you know, toys for kids and just randomly. And, you know, he's definitely one of those, you know, pretty amazing, you know, characters, you see, you know, kind of coming out of professional sports, and I don't think there's anybody like him, but.
I was wondering when you mentioned his name, how would you react? Would you like fanboy him as much as you could, or would you trying to at all coolly like, hey, Shaquille?
Well, that first time I saw him at NBA, I was probably a little bit too fanboyish. yeah, it was. I mean, you know, everybody, you know, obviously it's Shaq. So, but I think he kind of expects that at this point.
He's probably used to it.
You know, everybody kind of knows that's kind of his demeanor. So he's very approachable, you know, compared to maybe some of the other ones that are a little bit more guarded. And, you know, he's definitely not that type, you know, of individual. So
sounds great. And coming down to another lighthouse project for you, can you share what was one of the most rewarding projects that you've ever worked for?
For me, so like SoFi Stadium always stands out, partly because like I've got such an amazing relationship with some of the staff members there, and one person in particular. I mean, I've known him for years, and we've, you know, to the point where we've established a pretty good friendship, you know, throughout. So, and that's probably the biggest thing for me. You know, I mean, I'm a Chicago guy, so like I grew up outside Chicago. I'm a huge Chicago sports fan.
Are you even allowed to say that if you live in Orlando?
Everybody's a transplant in Florida, so it's the same thing, you know. And but anyway, so like, you know, like because you build these relationships with these individuals at these teams, like you want to support everything about that team because you get to meet them, you know them so closely, and you know you want the best for them, you know, and you know their roles and stuff like that, you know within the team. But but like SoFi, I remember, you know, being there. Again, they were an interesting one because when they were building that venue, that was in the middle of COVID, and it was a whole big thing where it was delayed, you know, as far as like getting construction, and all the construction costs, you know, were crazy because of everything kind of going on during COVID at that time. And the first year that they had opened, they were not allowed to have fans, you know, because California was one of those areas where fans just weren't allowed.
Yeah.
And so year one, no fans. Second year was the year they were going to be hosting Super Bowl. So now this is their very first year having fans in the stands, and they have to host Super Bowl, which is uncharacteristic, because usually you're supposed to have a building open for at least a year.
Uh-huh.
But they
is there like a public requirement to have?
I think it's an NFL requirement all these newly constructed facilities you have to have at least 1 year under your belt.
It makes sense, absolutely.
Right. But that first year, they had no fans. So operationally speaking, like, they didn't necessarily know what to expect. And so quickly, that start of year two, now they have fans, it was clear to them, like, oh, crap, like, we need help, you know, at the front gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we very quickly put together kind of like some demos, got a bunch of stuff over there, they did their proof of concept. And then, you know, we were rolling out, you know, kind of in record time, you know, a pretty good amount of devices, you know, like, you know, at SoFi in December, which is basically about a year, you know, about a month or so out from when Super Bowl took place. Mm-hmm. And then we added more devices kind of to supplement for Super Bowl. But for me, that one just stands out as probably the most amazing game watching experiences, you know, sitting in SoFi, you know, I mean, after all the entry operations were done, I remember sitting up and just kind of enjoying kind of the all the fruits of our, you know, efforts and stuff like that, you know, of course, you know, putting everything out there and just thinking like, yeah, this is probably the top watching experience I think I've ever seen in my life.
Can we say that that's something that excites you about Domokaba's role in making stadiums safer?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think for us, the credit that we have gained and just the notoriety and the respect, you know, I mean, we're certainly the company that we stand by what we say, you know. So if we're going to put out a technology, we're going to support it. We're going to make sure, you know, from start to finish that it is a, you know, a perfect experience, not only for the venue, but the team, but then, you know, just the, you know, the common fan, you know, walking, you know, throughout those facilities. So we want to make it, you know, safe and effective for you know, stakeholders all at all levels.
So. What multi-purpose venue or stadium is still on your bucket list that you have not yet visited? Yeah, simple question right at the end. Yeah. Because why not?
Well, there's, I mean, there's ones that are being built right now that I'm excited about. Like just over this past year, we have deployed, and this is a very proud moment for us, so Morocco, right? So Morocco is going to be one of the host nations for 2030 World Cup. And so there's one stadium that's being built right now that I believe it might be the highest capacity in the world.
Wow, or there, how many?
It's like 115,000, I think is what it's slated for. So it's a new stadium that's being built, you know, between Casablanca and Rabat. And that's one that we're you know, looking at deploying and everything there. But that's, again, just looking at the renderings of this place and, you know, they're kind of going pretty, you know, hard and heavy, you know, because they want to be, you know, hosting the finals for the World Cup. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that all plays out. But that's one where I look at the, you know, you look at the design, it's like, well, I want to be there. I can't wait till that thing
happens. And can you anticipate what will be the highlight moment, like when you enter it or when you step on the pitch or something? What's going to be a highlight moment probably?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, a lot of times just, yeah, I mean, you look at it both from a business perspective, but also a fan perspective, like, you know, seeing kind of the, you know, how they approach, you know, again, like premium spaces and some of these other, you know, you figure, you know, just the clientele that, you know, that you're dealing with. And, you know, certainly everything associated with World Cup, you want to have this amazing experience, you know, for these guests that are coming in. You know, again, they might be the only time they ever come in their life because their team is playing or, you know, something or other. So, you know, it'll be cool to kind of, you know, you kind of take a step back and look at it like just as a fan, you know, like what is it, you know, what does it feel like, you know, as far as watching the match and you know, all the different things that, you know, these venues have, you know, have to offer. So
I already wish you an outstanding experience as soon as you do visit that stadium. And I say, Brian, thank you very much for being such an enthusiastic guest at our podcast episode today, which is one of multiple Dublin special episodes of the Because It Matters podcast. Brian, thank you very much for being my guest today.
It was my pleasure. And again, thanks for the invite.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending time with us at the podcast episode. Have a fantastic day and enjoy the other special episodes of the Dublin Special.
That was Because It Matters, a Dor Macabre podcast. New episodes every month wherever you can listen to a podcast and on dormacabre.com.